Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Dave Lee, so without further ado, here he is.
Well, this morning, I have another tough assignment. I have to preach again a short message, and I'm finding that I'm kind of liking this short message thing. Isn't that good news for you all as well? I find that it's refreshing to preach with the constraint, because it forces me to think about what's really important and needs to be said. And as I've been preparing these last two messages with the children in mind, the preparation process has actually been very good for me too. It's brought clarity to what I need to think when I read passages of Scripture. And the passage this morning is called, I don't know why I left Ephesians 6:18 up there. This is what happens when you cut and paste. It's from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. Mental note to fix that before. It's a powerful passage of Scripture and probably one that's really familiar to you. And the title of the message is With Your All. And I think you'll understand why. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Sound familiar? "The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." This is the word of God. You know, when the teacher of the law, which is basically, I don't know if you knew in ancient Israel, the government and the religious institutions were very intermixed. And a teacher of the law, basically a lawyer of the religious law, came up to challenge Jesus. But I don't think he was being hostile. I think this was a genuine question. He said, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Now, when this religious leader asked this question of Jesus, where would you normally expect Jesus to find his answer to that question? Anyone know? Yeah, I'll give you a hint. I mean, God one day, in this supernatural way, inscribes 10 important laws onto stone tablets, and he gives them through Moses. If the living God gives 10 important commandments, you would expect that when someone says, "What's the most important one?" you'd probably pick from one of those 10. But the strange thing is that Jesus doesn't pick from one of those 10 as he answers the question. In fact, for the Jewish leaders, 10 commandments didn't seem like enough. And so they studied the Torah, which is their law, the law of Moses. It was the first 5 books of our Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those first 5 books of the Bible are the Hebrew law. And they studied it carefully, counting every command they could identify. And they came up with a whopping total of 613 commands. I guess 10 wasn't enough. They wanted to keep track of 613 commands. Of those, 248 commands were positive commands: "Do this," or "Thou shalt." And 365 of the commands were negative commands: "Don't do this," "Thou shalt not." So the Jewish people in ancient Israel lived under the weight of 613 commandments. I can barely keep track of 10. I don't know how you try to honor God mindful of 613 rules. And so it was a very common pastime for the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, to argue and debate for hours and hours among themselves, which of these is the greatest of all the commandments? Is there one that ranks highest among all of them? It's sort of like the LeBron versus MJ thing before basketball was invented, right? And that's not even really a debate, is it? I mean, seriously. But They wanted to know, and part of the fun of it was not even coming up with an answer. It was debating it was part of the fun. Well, here's my argument why. Well, here's my reasoning. And so they did this almost like a game. Now, here's an interesting thing. Around 50 years before Jesus was born, there was a very famous rabbi named Hillel. Rabbi Hillel, often called Shammai. And an unbeliever, a Gentile, came up to him one day and said, "Hey, this law is way too complicated. I'm kind of interested in Judaism, but it's just too much." And so he gave him this challenge, and we're going to try it, okay? He said, "If you really want me to convert, and I will convert, if you could explain the entire Torah, the law of Moses, while I'm standing on one foot." What was he saying? I actually want to try this, because I tried this when I first heard about this. I tried it, and I realized, I'm thinking, I'm going to be able to stand on one foot forever. It was really hard. I want you to all try it. If you're mobile, can you try to stand up, and let's see how long you can do it. Try balance, and don't start over. If you fall, that's it. Sit down, okay? Just on one foot. Oh, my Lord. Try it. Yeah. That's about as long as I could do it. Some of you are like total. Look at you guys. Join the Chinese circus, man. All right, you can sit down. You can sit down. The point of it is it's not that easy. I thought it was going to be so easy, and when I was younger, I could. But something in my cerebellum is off in my older age, and I was like, why is this so hard? And the point of the challenge was, don't take a long time. He was giving him a time constraint, saying, if it's really that important, explain it to me like I'm a child. Reduce the whole thing to one sentence that makes me understand who God is and what he wants from us. What that rabbi responded was, whatever you want done to you, do that thing to other people. Everything else is just commentary. So that was his response. And it's a pretty good answer. But when Jesus answered the question, he didn't even pick from one of the 613 commands. Here's how Jesus responded. The most important command, Jesus said, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And here comes the big verb. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Instead of picking one of the commands that was in the book, he gave a new command that sat over all of them and explained the motivation for everything we do in the presence of God. What God wants most from us is not to control us or to watch us do the things that he commanded, but he wants us to love him with our whole being, and that would be the motivation for which we respond to the rules he gives. That without that love, he does not want our empty obedience. What he wants most from us is a heart that loves him. And here's what the problem lies. Is that we are not born loving God. I wasn't born finding this strange love for a God who I didn't know in my heart. I did not even come to understand who God was until many years after attending church. And I only started to love God when I understood truly who he was to me and what he had done for me. In other words, love for God doesn't live in here and I have to find it. Love for God is always a response to God who is worthy of love. And that's why I can't just generate love for God. I have to love God after I understand how much God loved me. In 1 John 4:10, here's what the Apostle John says about it. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We love God after we understand and receive the great love he's given to us. And that's why the command is not, oh, you terrible person, try to love God with all your heart. It's first receive, understand the love that God has for you. Only then will you be able to love God back. Remember a long time ago, I talked about a sermon where there's always in a relationship someone who says, I love you, and someone who says, I love you too. With God, it will always be, I love you too. We love God back because he first loved us. That's how we even know how to love someone. 9 verses later, or 8 verses later, however you count it, John says this even more clearly. We love because he first loved us. And then without even being asked, Jesus says, oh, and there's a second really most important law, and that is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things are the greatest commands that are in the heart of God for us. If you've ever wanted to know, God, there's so many, every Sunday we go to church to tell us, do this, read your Bible, give to missions, all this. What is it that you want from us? There's too much to keep track of. If you want to make it simple, always remember this. What God wants more than anything is that every action in our lives is born out of love for him. And because of that, love for other people. Without love, everything we do is worthless and meaningless. It's just another way to pass time. Love is what makes every action meaningful and valuable. John will also go on to say, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I can't believe I'm almost done. What are we doing? Listen to this. I want you to notice something about the way that God, that Jesus calls us to love God. The reason I call the message with our all is because Jesus gives some qualifiers, some conditions for how we're supposed to love God. And he gives them to us this way. First, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And many years ago when I preached this passage, I divided all those four up into a really systematic way and said, what does it mean to love God with your heart? And then how about your soul? And how about your mind? And how about your strength? And that's useful. I think it's important to think about how can I love God? You know, the heart stands for our feelings. How do I love God emotionally? The mind stands for my thoughts. How do I love God with the thoughts that I think, the things I believe? Or refuse to believe. My strength is my power. Any form of power I have. Some of you, your power's in your biceps. Some of you, your power's in your wallet. Some of you, your power's in your network, in your influence. We have different forms of power, and God asks us to love him with that power in any way we can. And then our soul is the innermost being, that part of me that is my will. The deepest part that I call me, my identity, that part I'm also meant to love God. So it's useful and helpful to think about the different dimensions of us. But really what Jesus was saying is don't subdivide it. Do it like this. Just love God with every part of you. Leave nothing out. Leave nothing out. When we love someone and we want to be loved by them, we want to be loved by them in every part, right? I don't want someone to say, I don't think any wife, for example, would want a husband who says, hey, don't I bring home a paycheck? Don't I eat your cooking and say it's good? Why do I have to tell you that I like you? Well, because that's also part of it. I don't just want one thing from you. I want everything from you. That's what love is. I'm not content to just have part of you. I want the whole of you. That's how I know there's love here. Right? That's how we love anyone. And what God is saying is when you love God, don't leave anything out. Love God with every part of who you are. Now, some of you, you're going to have to think hard about which part of me is left out. Because some of us, we're good at loving God with our feelings, but we are ready to believe lots of bad things. And we have to be strengthened in how we love God with our thoughts. Just think about how you can love God with every part of you. But there's another way that Jesus means this when he says, love God with your all. And I'll talk about that through a story that some of you have heard before. When I was in eighth grade, I was on the track team. And I was the fastest sprinter in the school, and so I got to run the short sprints, like the 50, the 100, and 200. I remember running the 100. Back then, we didn't do meters. We did yards. I remember running the 100-yard dash, and I did really well, and I was pretty proud of myself. And so, like most athletes do, I ran up to my coach. I'm like, that was awesome, huh? And he's like, yeah, you did pretty good. How do you feel about how you ran? I said, I think I did great. He says, do you feel like you gave everything that was in you? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, then how come you're still able to stand up? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, if you really gave everything, you should be collapsed on the floor. Why do you still have energy to stand up? And I was like, what's wrong with this guy? But I learned a really important lesson from my coach that day. I learned that there's a difference between giving a lot and giving all. And I think most of us, we want from other people all, but we're content to give from ourselves a lot. Come on! What do you want from me? I gave you a lot. But from them, what we want is not a lot. We want all. And I realized that the way that I should live in the things that are most important to me is not a lot, but all. And there is a difference. All means there's nothing left. This is everything I have. I can't. Even if I try, I can't give you any more. You got everything from me. And I guess the question I was asking myself all week is, what do I do in my life today with my all? I was embarrassed to realize that on many days, the first answer that pops in my mind is I play pickleball with my all. If you ever face me on the court, you're going to get 100% Dave Lee. But maybe that's a good starting point for me, is the way I do that tells me something about me and my nature and my capacity. I can give everything. People always tell me, why are you diving as a nearly 60-year-old man for that ball? That's so dumb. Why? I can't explain, but when I see that ball, the lizard brain kicks in and I give my all and I'm in the air and I'm like, I'm so dumb. Even as I'm doing it, I'm thinking to myself, I'm so dumb and I'm going to get hurt. And, you know, old man shouldn't have scratches, but I have scars everywhere from doing dumb things like that. What do you do in your life with your all? Everything. My guess is for some of you, that is the way you're trying very hard to love the people closest to you. I want to commend that. That's a good starting point to think about how God is calling us to have a relationship with Him. Because He is worthy of all. He says, with all, not just with your soul, with your heart, with your mind, with your strength, but with all of it, love Him. Because if anyone is worthy of 100% love, it is this God who has loved us, created us, saved us. He is worthy of love without shortcuts, love that is not efficient, love that is not convenient, love that has costly. Love that says, I'm so tired of this, but I'm going to put up with it even more. Because God is worthy of that kind of love. And if we can learn to love God this way, I promise you, it will change. He will change the way you're able to love other people. If you're annoyed by people in your family or in your friend groups always telling you, I feel like you're holding back from me, I need more from you. If you're tired of hearing that, it's not just because they're annoying, it's because something of you is being held back, very likely. And it's not because you don't like them, it's not because you're trying to hold it back, but because somehow the ability to give all your love hasn't grown. The place where it grows is as we learn to love a God who is perfect, who is always faithful, who never lets us down. That God teaches us how to love anyone. If you can love God, that's the best training ground to learn how to love anyone. Because it's easy to love God compared to everybody else. Amen? Can we just say that? If ever there was a time to say amen in church, it's there. Everyone else is harder to love than God. But start there. Learn to love there. And I'll bet you'll start hearing less and less from people. We need more from you. I need more from you. Because naturally, your heart, your posture will be to give all of yourself to the people you claim to love. I want to give you a chance. Wow, are we done early? I'm glad that there's no seeds we have to wait for. You're all here. So we could just end church and get some lunch. I want to give you time before you go home, though. Don't get too excited. It's not going to be like this every Sunday, but we're working on it. The ushers are going to pass out a little quarter sheet slip. And I think it's important before you go home, if you're feeling anything at all, if there's a thought stirring inside of you, I think it's important to just write down a couple things just as a bookmark for your own heart. Okay? A promise to yourself and a commitment also to God. So on this sheet, you're going to find two things, okay? One is, and on the first section, it's about your relationship with God. And I want you to consider, is there a particular way you feel like God is inviting you to love Him with more of you, like you're, with your all? Is there some area of your life where God is saying, don't just give me a lot, give me all of yourself in this area? It's likely very private to you. You don't have to write it down if you're worried someone's going to find the paper. But at least spend some time thinking about it. And if you want, write it down, put it in your pocket, and look at it later. On the second part, I want you to think about someone in your life who you know deserves better love from you. And you've been feeling that a little bit. Like, I really feel like there's more I can give to this person or to these people. Don't list everything. You know, you don't have to be the valedictorian and have the longest list. Just focus on one person or one set of people. Maybe for you it's going to be my mom and dad or my siblings. Who is God nudging you to love better in your life? I'll give you a couple minutes, and we'll invite the worship team to start making their way back up. But don't feel rushed. Just take a couple minutes to think about love in your life. Love for God. Love for other people. This week, there have been moments, because I was preparing this sermon, where I wasn't at my best. And I was gripped by this feeling, this thought. Lord, you deserve better than this from me. This is not what I want to bring to you. Whenever you felt anything like that, that may be one place where God is saying, I want you to grow. You can give better than this to a God who is worthy of everything. Would you just write one thing even, if you feel that? One of the joys I've had pastoring this church is to get to know many of your lives and your stories. And I want to tell you that I see a lot of love in this church. I see people who are working very hard to love others well. I hope you don't hear in this message this accusation that you need to learn how to love. You know how to love. You are loving people. I'm just inviting you to consider the difference between a lot and all. What a difference it made when my coach taught me that concept and how it's touched so much of my life since then. And God and your loved ones are worthy, not just of a lot, but of all. So please don't hear that you're not doing it, but an invitation to say, go even further, because it will bless your life as much as it blesses others. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you, through your Son Jesus, showed us what real love looks like. It looks like sacrifice. It looks like forgiveness. It looks like mercy. It looks like patience with those who are imperfect and so unworthy of consideration. It is generosity overflowing. It is always more than we deserve. Thank you for teaching us what love looks like. As we receive that love from you, help us to love you back, not just with a lot, but with all that is in us. And as we learn to love you, open up in our hearts the ability to love other people better, especially those in our lives who are yearning, aching for more love from us. Help us not to fight it, but to love those who we were called to love. Teach us to love one another as you have loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May God this week unlock in you a new level of loving Him, and of loving the people in your life who have a claim to that love. May you learn through His guiding hand the difference between giving a lot and giving your all. And as you do it, may God show you how that touches and affects you and the world around you. May God fill this church and the lives we touch with His love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.